war on the Besiege territory. The Israeli military confirmed the death of four more of its soldiers in Gaza. It says they were killed in an ambush by resistance fighters in Khan Yunis. A Lebanon's resistance movement Hezbollah shoots down Israel's modern Hermes 900 drone that had intruded into the Lebanese territory. I'm Behrouz Najaf. It's good to have you with us. Now, top story, Palestinians facing more deaths and destruction in Gaza as the U.S.-Israeli onslaught in the besieged strip continues for a seventh month. Attacks have killed 38 civilians and injured scores more in just 24 hours. In Gaza City, four Palestinians were killed after an Israeli airstrike targeted a residential building in Shojaiya neighborhood. Israeli forces also killed four people in the town of Al-Zahra in central Gaza. Since the beginning of the genocide, nearly 33,200 people have been killed. At least 7,000 people are also unaccounted for or are presumed dead under the rubble. Now, Israel says it's pulled out most of the troops out of southern Gaza in what it said is a move to recuperate and prepare for future offensives. Three Israeli brigades left the southern city of Khan Yunis, but another one remained to prevent displaced Palestinians from returning to their homes in the north. The Israeli military said a significant force will remain in the rest of the besieged Gaza Strip. The military wing of Hamas resistance movement says that Israel is forced to end its operations before achieving its goals. The Al-Qassam brigades dismiss Israel's claims that it has destroyed resistance forces in those areas from where it's withdrawn. Qassam added that the resistance forces have always surprised Israel. Let's now cross over to Deir al-Balah in central Gaza City. We have our correspondent Moti Abu Musabbe is there and reporting live for us whatever is happening there. Moti, what update do you have for us at this moment?
Yes, actually, the Israeli occupation forces withdrew completely from Khan Yunis city after roughly three consecutive months of the continuous fighting and the fierce fighting between the Palestinian resistance and the Israeli occupation forces, and the continuous and the ceaseless Israeli strikes and attacks that have been hitting that area and that city for roughly more than three consecutive months. Those areas, those attacks, as you know, were concentrated and intensified against the western part of the city, particularly the surrounding areas of the Nasser Medical Complex and the Al-Amal Hospital. Dozens of the Palestinian residential squares and neighborhoods were completely destroyed, and they were wiped out of the map over those ceaseless Israeli strikes, in addition to dozens of the Palestinian and hundreds of the Palestinian residential buildings and houses that were completely blasted and blown up using the explosive devices in the eastern parts of the city. The vast majority of the residential buildings and the houses were completely destroyed. The infrastructure were completely ruined by those continuous Israeli strikes. Needless to mention that thousands of the Palestinian civilians were completely killed and unalived over those continuous attacks against Khan Yunis city. What happened and what took place in Khan Yunis city was the most brutal attack that took place during the area, since the very beginning of this war so far, in terms of the number of the Palestinian civilians who got unalived, in addition to the severe and the mass destruction unfolded after the Israeli occupation forces withdrew from those spots. According to Al-Qassam brigades, that withdrawal actually came as a result of the fierce and the resilient Palestinian resistance that faced the Israeli occupation forces in all battlefields in Khan Yunis city. And they even hours after that withdrawal, the Palestinian resistance actually launched a barrage of the Palestinian missiles into the occupied territories in a clear message that all that cruelty and all that brutality waged against the Palestinian people in Khan Yunis city and in all against all areas of Gaza Strip would never succeed to eradicate the Palestinian resistance, and the Palestinian resistance is still able to practice the genuine right of the resistance against the Israeli occupation forces. In the meantime, the Israeli occupation forces claimed that withdrawal came in the context of the Israeli preparations to repositioning in order to wage another ground offensive against Rafah and Deir el-Balah city here. So these are the claims that claimed and promoted by the Israeli occupation forces, that they are bracing to wage another ground offensive against Rafah city and Deir el-Balah city. So the upcoming days are decisive in terms of what is... what will take a place on the ground here, either when it comes to Deir el-Balah city or when it comes to Rafah city as well, knowing that these areas are completely overcrowded and overwhelmed with the Palestinian evacuees and the displaced Palestinians. Hundreds of thousands of the Palestinian civilians are still crammed either in Rafah city or in Deir el-Balah city. The vast majority of them were from Gaza City and the northern part of Gaza Strip. They are still living catastrophic humanitarian conditions as the Israeli occupation forces are still stalling and obstructing the smooth delivery and the flow of those humanitarian necessities to the people here. In the meantime, the Israeli warplanes continued their airstrikes against the eastern parts of Khan Yunis city, particularly Ma'an neighborhood. Ma'an neighborhood is located in the eastern part of Khan Yunis city. It was subjected to heavy bombardments and attacks over the last couple of hours, and those airstrikes actually were resumed also against Gaza city. Dozens of the Palestinian residential buildings were destroyed completely after the Israeli warplanes carried out relentless Israeli airstrikes against that area. In the meantime, four Palestinian civilians were reportedly killed in the central area of Gaza Strip here in Az-Zahra town, which is located in the northern part of Al-Nusayrat refugee camp, after the Israeli occupation forces carried out an attack against a group of the Palestinian civilians there. So the current situation is still tense on the ground, and that withdrawal from Khan Yunis city doesn't mean that the Israeli attacks and the Israeli offensives actually over. Apparently, the Israelis are still still moving forward in order to carry out more crimes and to commit more crimes against the Palestinian people, particularly in Deir el-Balah city and in Rafah city generally. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for that live update. Mutiaba Musaba, our correspondent there in the central Gaza city of Deir el-Balah. Now, moving on, the Israeli military has acknowledged the death of four more of its troops during battles with Palestinian resistance fighters in Gaza. The IOF says that its forces were killed in an ambush in the southern city of Khan Yunis. It took place when the IOF was patrolling the city, and the Israeli commander was among those killed. A Palestinian resistance movement Hamas earlier said that 14 Israeli troops were killed in two different operations in the same city. Four Israeli armored vehicles were also destroyed. Palestinian fighters suffered no casualties in the exchange of fire. Israel says that 260 of its forces have been killed in Gaza since it invaded the besieged territory in late October. The Palestinians say that the real number is much higher than that. Hezbollah resistance movement says it's shot down a modern Israeli drone over the Lebanese territory. The unmanned aerial vehicle was a Hermes 900, and that as Israeli fighter jets targeted parts of eastern Lebanon at dawn on Sunday. They hit areas in the city of Baalbek, the Janta region, and the Bekaa Valley. According to Lebanese sources, there were no casualties. Israeli forces and Hezbollah fighters have exchanged near-daily cross-border fire since Tel Aviv launched an onslaught on Gaza Strip last October. The Israeli military has intensified attacks on civilians in Lebanon in recent weeks. Now, South African protesters angered by the U.S. Israeli genocide in Gaza have marked the International Goat's Day by getting together outside the U.S. consulate in Johannesburg. A correspondent, Hassan Saria, was also there and interviewed some of the protesters.
the U.S. is as guilty as Israel in what they are doing and the genocidal massacres. For every child that is killed by Israel, the U.S. is complicit in that. They are the ones supplying the bombs, they are supplying all of the arms, they are supplying them with economic, financial, all of that. But most importantly, they are also supplying them with the political motive. And so Israel can continue to do what it wants because it knows that the U.S. will always support it in every way. And so the U.S. should not just be held accountable, the U.S. is responsible just as much as Israel.
That is what we are asking for the United States, to stop supporting genocides, because they are going to be actually implicated. They are also a partner to the crime which is happening in Gaza. Every single bomb which is killing the children in Palestine has been donated, has been given free of charge, using American taxpayers' money to kill 33,000 people and demolish all of those houses. This unconditional support of the United States cannot be continued.
A large demonstration in solidarity with Gaza has been held in Austria's capital to mark the International Goats Day. Protesters demanded an immediate ceasefire in the Gaza Strip and showed solidarity with Palestinians there, as the Israeli war continues to claim more civilian lives. Dieter Reinisch reports from Vienna.
Thousands of Austrians marched under the slogan "Stop the genocide, stop the occupation" in the capital Vienna. The Palestine Committee and Palestine Solidarity Austria organized the demonstration. The march was held on Saturday, a week after house raids of Palestinian activists in the city of Linz. Police recently also interrogated protesters in other cities. International Quds Day was an aspiration for the organizers of Saturday's protest.
And all these commemoration days is to really say, wake up, we are really in the situation where people are getting killed every day and we have to stop it as soon as possible.
Organizers also criticized a four-day visit of the President of the Austrian Parliament, Wolfgang Sobotka, to Israel this week.
Well, obviously, when looking at the last 6 months, there's been some unconditional support for Israel, obviously, and their action in the Gaza Strip, which is absolutely unacceptable.
Several speakers stressed Austrian solidarity with Palestinians in war-torn Gaza as the U.S.-Israeli genocide and war continues unabated. They said the Austrian government does not speak for them.
It's the most obvious wrongdoing that I've ever seen in my life.
The protesters called for support for Lebanon and Yemen against U.S. imperialist aggression. People from around the world joined the Vienna march.
I was born in Chile under a dictatorship and I have a lot of Palestinian friends. I am even wearing a t-shirt from a team called Palestina, who was founded by Palestinian migrants several years ago. I couldn't be in peace with myself if I wasn't here demonstrating and saying and raising my voice, at least.
Representatives of Jewish organizations such as Not In Our Name stressed their continued solidarity with the Palestinian struggles. Organizers said all Austrians must continue to protest against the U.S.-Israeli genocide and their government support for it, despite the repression.
We cannot call ourselves humans, regardless of our nationalities or political views or religions, and be indifferent about what's going on nowadays in Gaza.
Thousands marched in the Austrian capital Vienna in support of the people and the resistance in Gaza as the Israeli genocide war claims more civilian lives. Despite Austria's repression, the state and the police were unable to stop the Palestine solidarity movement. Saturday's demonstration has once again shown that the support for Gaza remains strong in Austria. Dieter Reinisch from Vienna.
It seems that after 6 months of genocide in the Gaza Strip, the West is finally waking up to the fact of the Israeli war crimes. The UN Human Rights Council has eventually condemned Israel, while across the West, pressure is also mounting to stop arms exports to Tel Aviv. From Paris, Ramin Mazari has more.
At demonstrations across France and even inside the United Nations, unprecedented resistance is growing to Israel's attempted genocide in Gaza. The United Nations Human Rights Council just demanded a halt in all arms sales to Israel and called for Israel to be held accountable for possible war crimes and crimes against humanity. That marks the first time the UN's top rights body has taken a position on the horrific Israeli invasion.
An arms embargo is the first step, but the final step must be to cut all relations with Israel. Israel is a cancer which was fabricated in the Middle East by Europeans, and no one should support it. Israel has been an injustice since its very beginning, and not only over the last 6 months.
The West has a two-faced way of speaking regarding Gaza. On one hand, they pretend to cry about the many dead innocents and children in Gaza, but on the other hand, they continue to send arms to Israel to do the killing. The hypocrisy of Western governments, but even more so of many Arab governments, is simply unbearable.
115 French opposition lawmakers, or 20% of parliament, demanded that President Emmanuel Macron halt arms sales to Israel as well. Paris claims only defensive weapons are exported to Israel, but the parliamentarians say even those arms sales should be stopped.
Last week it was revealed that a French company sent nearly a ton of machine gun parts to Israel last October, and for the type of clearly non-defensive weapon which has been used in massacres of Palestinians.
Even though sending arms to Israel now is against international law, as they are clearly being used in violation of international humanitarian law, few expect Macron will follow the path set by Italy, Spain, Belgium, the Netherlands, and Canada.
It's a great move on their part. It's a good vote on their part, but it won't get any traction. Not from the government, not from the Macron and his criminals, war criminals.
Israel's multinational war has now reached 6 months. Indiscriminate Israeli bombing and aggression has killed some 34,000 people and wounded 80,000 others in Gaza, the West Bank, and Lebanon. 60% of Gaza's homes and buildings have been destroyed, as well as 70% of hospitals, 90% of schools, and some 230 mosques and churches. Half of Gaza is facing catastrophic food insecurity, while 30% of children under the age of 2 are acutely malnourished, as the West continues to unconditionally support Tel Aviv. Ramin Mazahiri, Paris.
And with that, we come to the end of this newscast. Thank you for being with us.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsTodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsTodayEnglish.
Tell a little about yourself.
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of
Listeners Special. In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warmest greetings to you all. Welcome to another edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, April 7th, 2023. I'm Atefa Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through your emails, your letters, and your messages. So, please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcasts. And if you have any message for our listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Welcome back. This is another edition of Listeners Special, and here we've received reception reports from around the world, this time from Ronnie Hossein from Bangladesh, from Hector Fria Joffre from Chile, and from Bruce Lee from Australia. All of them are regular listeners. Ronnie, Hector, Bruce, thank you very much for your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. We want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to our radio. And here we have piles of letters and emails from around the world, which I mentioned some of your names here. And later during the program, I will read these emails from Chile. Hector Fria Hofer has sent us a piece of email. From India, Siddhartha Bhattacharji has sent us a piece of email. And here we've received an email from Muhammad Akram Sial from Pakistan. Stay with us, please. I will be back with you. Well, dear listeners, spring is everywhere, and I prefer to introduce to you the historical village of Abyane in central Iran. Abyane is a historical and tourist village in Isfahan province, center of Iran. Abyane village is a beautiful and unique village in terms of ancient Iranian architecture and culture, which is about 40 kilometers northwest of the city of Natanz on the hillside of Karkas Mountain. The texture of Abyane's houses belongs to the three historical periods of Seljuk, Safavid, and Qajar dynasties, recorded as one of the national monuments of Iran. Abyane's houses are built in a staircase way covered with red soil. This historical village is registered as one of the national monuments of Iran. The historic village has always been of interest to Iranian and foreign tourists. And later during the program, I will talk about Abyane more. So, for the time being, let's see what Hector Fria Hofer from Chile has said. Hector says, "Dear friends of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, I send my greetings and also a report in audio enclosed to my email confirming that I have been a listener of your radio. I would like to receive information about your country, and I certainly want to obtain a QSL card or EQSL if it would be possible. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you, Hector, from Chile. Thank you very much for writing to us. I know you are one of our old and regular listeners from Chile. As for your request about sending you information about our country, Iran, you can refer to our website at parstoday.ir/en, where you can find the archive of our programs about Iran, which includes cultural, touristics, etc. So please accept our electronic QSL or EQSL as confirmation to this email. We wish you all the best, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Welcome back. Abyane village is easily accessible both from Kashan and Isfahan. It takes about 1 hour driving from Kashan and 2 hours from Isfahan to get there. By the way, did you know what this word Abyane means? Literally, it means the region where willow trees grow. It's very interesting. Just imagine a historical village full of willow trees. Looks like tales. Such things only exist in beautiful Iran, believe me. Abyane is undoubtedly among the most unique destinations in Iran, which will definitely amaze you if you visit it. How come? Because this village has largely preserved its culture, language, architecture, costume, and traditional rituals over the years, and is also famous because of the color of its soil. Well, it has red mud brick houses. Very interesting. Due to an unusual high level of iron oxide, the soil in Abyane village has a reddish, beautiful color, which makes it even more distinguished. Well, Abyane is also known as the Red Village, for your information. I've heard that as much as these soils get dampened by rain, it becomes firmer. Great! Just like the people of this village who are patient and strong against the natural disasters during history. Okay, let's see what our listener from India, Siddhartha Bhattacharya, says. Siddhartha Bhattacharya, as you may know, is one of our old and regular listeners. Siddhartha says, "Here I submit audio file of your broadcast. Hope it will be a great help for you and your technicians. Kindly send me your program schedule, sticker, stamps, and other promotional material, which is available in order to represent your radio here in India." Salam and warm greetings from Tehran, Iran, to Siddhartha Bhattacharya from India, and thank you very much for writing to us. We recently received your audio file and appreciate your effort. Siddhartha Bhattacharya from India. An electronic QSL or EQSL will soon be sent to you as confirmation to your email. Thank you again for writing to us at IRIB English Radio. We wish you all the best, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon, and your views are always welcome to us. So, after a short break, I will be back with you, dear listeners. And the historical village of Abyane. I think the local residents of Abyane must be very special people. I mean, these people love their father's culture and have preserved it for many years. So, they are very unique and admirable people. Good for them. Appreciative. The way people dress in Abyane is very notable. They wear a set of beautiful traditional outfits. Most women wear large white scarves with printed or embroidered red flowers, which covers their shoulders. They wear colorful dresses, and men wear traditional clothes as well, which consist of black vests and wide trousers. I think these people are so happy with this kind of living. I mean, wearing their own traditional clothes and living in such a historical environment. The local people live through agriculture, horticulture, and animal husbandry, which is done in the traditional way. Abyane women play an important role in partnering with men in economic affairs. The 7 aqueducts of this village, Abyane village, are used to irrigate fields and gardens that have crops such as wheat, barley, potatoes, and various fruits such as apples, plums, pears, apricots, almonds, and walnuts. Carpet weaving is another way of earning money in Abione village, which has become popular in recent years and has led to the establishment of about 30 carpet weaving workshops. Great. Here we've received an email from Muhammad Akram Seal from Pakistan. So let's see what Muhammad says. Dear staff at IRIB English Radio, I hope that you would be fine and me and my club friends are absolutely fit and fine. I am a listener of your service. I listen to your programs daily. I found all the programs very informative and interesting. I have a request, and that is you post me a program guide and other literature. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you and your club members and your club friends. Muhammad Akram Seal from Pakistan. Appreciations to you and your friends at your club. For this email, it's good to hear that you listen to IRIB English Radio daily and you found all the programs very informative and interesting. Thank you for that. Please accept our electronic QSL as confirmation to this email. We wish you and your club friends luck. And we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon in the future. Thank you again, Muhammad Akram Seal from Pakistan. Conclusion, Abione village is beautiful in all four seasons of the year. In addition to spring, when the beautiful blossoming trees give life to the face of the village, and the relatively mild summers, when such weather is less common in other desert villages, do not miss the autumn of a thousand colors that make the way to the village spectacular and a pleasant experience for you. As winter approaches and the surface of the passages and the colorful houses are covered with the spectacular snowflakes, such an interesting landscape is created that amazes every tourist. Whatever I say is not enough, and I cannot describe the beauty of this historical village for you. You'd better take a tour to this special place to realize what I'm actually saying. As I always say, nowhere looks like beautiful Iran. We had a great time being together, but here we've come to the end of our today's edition of Listeners Special. But before saying goodbye to you, I just wanted to send my warm appreciations to those of you who have kindly sent us reception reports as well as emails and letters from around the world, including Roni Hossein from Bangladesh, Hector Friahofer from Chile, Bruce Lee from Australia. Also, Siddhartha Bhattacharya from India and Muhammad Akram Seal from Pakistan. Please keep in touch with us at IRIB English Radio and Listeners Special Program. We wish you all the best. God bless you. Goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We will be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send us emails to englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at parstoday.ir/en. Our phone number is 0098-21-2201-3720. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
This is A to Z. An introduction into Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, asking for forgiveness in these last few nights of the holy month of Ramadan. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So we are here talking about the holy month of Ramadan, a month which truly is full of blessings and different good things that Allah has blessed us with. It is filled with such spirituality and purity. And one interesting thing, even though it is a little bit unfortunate and it makes you a little bit sad, is how the holy month of Ramadan very quickly ends. It seems that in modern times, the holy month of Ramadan every single year seems to fly by faster. And this beautiful banquet of Allah, this beautiful feast in which we were the divine guests of a very divine and sublime host, quickly comes to an end. Now, before this holy month of Ramadan ends, one of the things that really is of great importance is this idea of istighfar and this idea of asking for forgiveness. You know, we did talk about this concept in a previous program on the early days of the holy month of Ramadan. But now, as the holy month of Ramadan is closing, this is one of the things that we really need to focus on and we really need to pay attention to. And from the bottom and the depth of our hearts and souls, we need to do a very sincere istighfar and ask the Almighty Allah to forgive us before this holy month ends. Amirul Mu'mineen Imam Ali alayhi salam has very eloquently given us a warning and has said that truly wretched is an individual who has not been forgiven in the holy month of Ramadan.
Ramadan al-mustabin jaa bin nur al-mubin. Ramadan, Ramadan, Ramadan al-qanitin.
Welcome back. This is A to Z on IRIB English Radio. So we're talking about forgiveness and istighfar in these last few days and nights of the holy month of Ramadan. You know, as we said in the previous segment, the holy month of Ramadan really passes by so quickly when you think about it. And inshallah, may Allah give us the blessing and the opportunity to witness another holy month of Ramadan in our lives in the upcoming years, insha'Allah. So we were talking about istighfar and how Imam Ali alayhi salam has said that the most wretched of individuals is the one who has not been forgiven in the holy month of Ramadan, really showing us the importance of asking for forgiveness and being forgiven. Now, there's various reasons why perhaps, you know, we do not attain forgiveness. One is that, well, we don't ask for forgiveness in the holy month of Ramadan, or we are not sincere in our forgiveness and seeking forgiveness. Or, for example, we have continued to, God forbid, commit sins in the holy month and we haven't really, you know, repented, or we haven't really tried to change our lives, right? Because trying to change our life and trying to improve ourselves, this is a form of istighfar. So in these last few nights, with a sincere repentance, you know, and really having a intimate conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and really asking for forgiveness and feeling regret and shame for what we have done and asking for forgiveness for those things, and then using our faculties for good. These are some of the things that we should do before the end of the holy month of Ramadan.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran while shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day, from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. Now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
The limelight.
Through both their statements and their silence, leading European thinkers have exposed Western racism. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Middle East Eye wrote, En Berara is an Israeli expression that is used to depict the persistent destruction, ethnic cleansing, and now genocide of indigenous Palestinians as acts of self-defense for which there is no alternative. The International Court of Justice recently affirmed the real and imminent risk arising from South Africa's allegations that the Zionist regime is committing genocide in Gaza. This did not unfold in a vacuum. Such outcomes are inherent to the settler colonial structure of elimination imposed on Palestine by Euro-American imperialism. As detailed in South Africa's application to the ICJ, decades of Israeli colonialism led to the state reaching its genocidal moment. In 2006, Patrick Wolf, a distinguished scholar of settler colonialism, considered genocide to be plausible in Palestine. He saw compelling indications of genocidal dynamics through the Zionist regime holding the Palestinian population captive in the occupied West Bank and Gaza. Although universally recognized as the crime of all crimes, genocide represents just one of many atrocious manifestations of settler colonial violence, which is leveraged to seize land and dispossess indigenous owners. There is an army of not just troops, but also philosophers, ethicists, who moralize and justify colonialism as acts of embrera, or no choice. This notion is deeply entrenched in Euro-modern colonial knowledge, which has criminalized and deprived colonized peoples of ontological resistance so that their souls, psyches, and identities can be reshaped to suit the colonizers' schemes, as Franz Fanon reminds us in Black Skin, White Masks. This mechanism of self-vindication denies colonized people the rights to self-defense and resistance to preserve and reclaim their humanity. Instead, it transfers guilt onto the victims. The Spanish conquistadors considered the deaths and calamities they inflicted on the indigenous peoples of South America as their own fault for standing in the invader's way. Philosopher George Hegel asserted that Africans were guilty because of their innate contempt for humanity, which made them susceptible to being shot down by thousands in war with Europeans. Similarly, the Zionist regime holds Palestinians condemnable for having forced Zionist settlers to kill them, as suggested by former Zionist regime Prime Minister Golda Meir. In the 21st century, leading European thinkers associated with the Frankfurt School of Critical Theory insist on reminding us of the indivisibility of European modern ethics and coloniality. Jürgen Habermas, a prominent European philosopher, and others expressed solidarity with the Zionist regime in mid-November while genocide was clearly unfolding in Gaza. Habermas based his stance on the contrived accusation that the resistance group Hamas intends to eliminate Jewish life in general, implying that the Zionist regime had no choice but to retaliate in the manner it has. The resistance group Hamas, which is proscribed as a terrorist group in the UK and other Western regimes, has on several occasions affirmed that it does not wage a struggle against the Jews because they are Jewish, but wage a struggle against the Zionists who occupy Palestine. Other critical philosophers, including Celia Benhabib, have echoed the Zionist regime's allegations on the killings of babies, burning people alive, and ritual murder, which have been debunked as fabricated propaganda. Truth, facts, proof, objectivity, context, and history apparently have no place when Euro-colonial interests are at stake. Amid the clamor of dehumanization, Palestinians, like all colonized people, have been stripped of their rights on the ontological resistance and self-defense. Palestinian life has come into conflict with white supremacy and the West's desire to atone for its own anti-Semitism and the genocide of European Jews. Consequently, Palestinians have become the embodiment of the damned of the earth of the 21st century, literally forced out through genocide and ethnic cleansing. Both Palestinians and Jews were singled out in the statement by Habermas and his colleagues. While the latter were deemed worthy of a special protection, the former was silenced and removed from the sphere of human dignity and concerns about the democratic ethos of the West. This represents two faces of the same racist and dehumanizing idea that has historically pitted supposedly inferior groups, including Jews and Muslims, designated as Semitic peoples against the self-declared superior European Aryan race. Evil might have changed its form, but not its racist essence. Palestine is the ethical battleground of our time, where the racism inherent in Euro-modern colonial knowledge is dissected, exposed, and resisted. This knowledge system, whether by justification or through silence, echoes the historical pattern of colonial atrocities across the global South, including the unfolding genocide in Palestine. In this light, as eloquently articulated by ethics professor Wael Hallaq, the Palestinian experience of colonial life and death encapsulates the global issue of ethics and knowledge.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio by your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Ammar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. In these beautiful days of month of Ramadan, days of blessings, days of special mercy, we are all special guests to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Almighty God Himself is the host, not the angels, not the prophets, not the awliya, not the great ones, not the scholars. No, Almighty God Himself is the host, and it's a big blessing, and you are the guest. So you're sitting right in front of Almighty God. You better be more attentive to godly values, to Quranic values and Quranic disvalues. A true mu'min is always going to care about the Quranic values, because we live based on rules and regulations. And always remember that our rules and regulations has roots in our values and disvalues. So what rule we make, what rule we love, we look into our world, what rules applies on upon us, it's all about what kind of roots we have, and where our values stays and lives, and who and from whom our values is going to come to us. So this is the point here. In the month of Ramadan, there's a beautiful hadith where Imam Reza salamu alayhi says, Imam Reza says, "Man qara fi shahr Ramadan ayah min kitabillah azza wa jal kana kaman khatama al-Quran fi ghayrihi min ash-shuhur." If you recite one ayah in this beautiful month, in the month of Ramadan, it is equal to just like you recited the whole Quran in the other month of. Let's say if you recite in the month of Ramadan just Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, and the reward you are going to be is going to be equal to like you have studied the whole Quran in the month of Rajab, in the month of Sha'ban, in the month of Jamadi al-Awwal, Jamadi al-Sani, I don't know, Muharram, Safar. In other months, when you recite the whole Quran, I mean, I always say reciting Quran in your own language, when you understand that. I'm not talking about the Arabic. Arabic has, reading Arabic, is there's a big sawab, there's a big reward. But when you understand, then this is the main sawab. Understanding Quran is their sawab, which is going to be like 1,000 times more. Citing 1,000 times more than reciting Quran in Arabic. So if you recite Quran one time in Rajab, in Sha'ban, in Muharram, Safar, you're going to have a reward for this. But if you recite just one ayah in this month, just one ayah, you're going to have sawab of reciting whole Quran in other month. And this is the beauty of month. Why? Basically, this is a special offer from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, sometimes you go to market and you say, oh, the market says that today is a special sale. The regular days you buy something for $20, $20, $30, $50. But today, which was for $50, today you're going to buy for $5. So you're happy. You say, okay, I'm going to save plenty of money. Right here, same thing. Allah says, if you recite Quran the regular days, okay, you are going to get like this much amount of rewards. But in the month of Ramadan, you are going to have 6,000 times more, because the Quran has 6,660-something verses in it. So when you recite one ayah in the month of Ramadan, you're going to get rewards almost 6,500 times more. It's a great blessing. This is not the normal thing. This is not the common thing. No, we don't receive such a blessing in the regular days. This is the special gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those who want to fast, and those who want to connect themselves with Quran, those who want to do good deeds, those who want to do ibadat, worship, caring of others in this special month, especially reciting Quran. May Allah give us tawfiq to recite Quran as much as possible in our own language with understanding, inshallah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
You just listened to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Ammar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
This one lay.
bring us now from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.